The NBA is a multi-billion dollar power machine. They reach off the court into retail, media, more than that. The NBA is the envy of many international conglomerates for the power that they hold and the money that they generate. Yet all it took was a tweet by an NBA team executive supporting the freedom movement in Hong Kong to literally bring the NBA to its collective knees in full apology mode. Now, why does China hold this influence over this supposed powerful in America? And more importantly, how did China attain this type of position? This is what my next guest writes about in his new book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. He's a U.S.-China expert with the Hudson Institute, who prior to that was a China strategist for the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Joint Staff at the Pentagon. Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding, how are you today, sir?
Great, thank you.
And you can follow Brigadier General Spalding on Twitter at Robert_Spalding, and the Hudson Institute is Hudson.org. I guess, you know, from what you write about in Stealth War and the means of influence, how much does this China NBA story demonstrate the heavy influence that China has in what most people think are strictly American situations?
Oh, yeah, I think it perfectly demonstrates it and actually amplifies it above and beyond even what I put in the book with regard to this kind of behavior. You know, the one story I write about in the book is the story about Roy Jones, who was fired by Marriott for liking a tweet about Tibet. Now, it was covered in a couple of newspaper articles. One is the Wall Street Journal. But for the most part, people didn't recognize that. But they definitely see the NBA essentially kowtowing to the Chinese Communist Party. And it's emblematic of corporate America and Wall Street, academia, and our political elites today. You know, when I was in the White House, I couldn't get a think tank or a law firm to help work on China policy because, quite frankly, they were worried about angering the Chinese. So this is a big problem, and that's what I write about in the book.
And, you know, when you say NBA is like I alluded to in the introduction, it's always big money. They're in partnership with a Chinese streaming company for a $1.5 billion five-year deal. And it seems like with when there's money involved, that's sort of what you, again, also write about in Stealth War, which China didn't gain influence militarily or through stealth means. Everything they did, by all points that one can consider, was perfectly above board, legal, but it made them the winners.
Yeah, and if you look at what the world we tried to create after World War II, was there's a one-page agreement signed between FDR and Winston Churchill called the Atlantic Charter, and it really represents the international order that we wanted and we built, and essentially China has taken control of using their predatory economic, financial, and data policy. And that document basically lays out democratic principles, free trade, rule of law, and self-determination as kind of the pillars of the world order. Now, of course, those have all gone away, and I think people are finally starting to see what I was seeing in 2014 at the Pentagon when we started working on a counter strategy to this effort.
But certainly by that point in time, it was almost like trying to catch up with the opioid epidemic here in the States. The problem is just so far ahead. How fast do you have to run to catch up to it?
Well, yeah, and, you know, the opioid epidemic is another good example of the way China has turned its pharmaceutical factories into poison factories for the United States. So, you know, all the fentanyl comes from China, and it comes from them, you know, having a super, really unregulated pharmaceutical industry inside the country that allows them to export fentanyl, but also, you know, other drugs that have contaminants in it that, you know, cause cancer.
Is it true, too, that China produces most of, if not all, the antibiotics that are currently being used in America?
Most of the manufacturing process for pharmaceuticals are occurring in China right now, and that's why we have such a problem with, you know, making sure that we have a safe supply. And, you know, I think the other thing that I really it's really frustrating is that our retirement funds now, up to 20% of our emerging market portions of our retirement funds, which equates to hundreds of billions of dollars and trillions in market cap, are pouring into China as we speak. So the trade war really put a dampener on their ability to have U.S. dollars. And so they basically put pressure on the Wall Street indexing companies to raise the amount of Chinese stocks held in our retirement funds. To add injury to that, the retirement funds of active duty military next year will start to pour money into companies that actually make Chinese weapons. So they're going to be investing in the weapons that they face.
Talking with Brigadier General Robert S. Spalding, his book Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. On Twitter, it's @Robert_Spalding. And he's also a China strategist with the Hudson Institute, Hudson.org. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. So that means on the financial side of things, I mean, I'm going to segue into one generation to the next with this, but with the financial side of things, China can make an internal financial policy decision that could affect, as you said, hundreds of billions of dollars of future retirement savings.
Well, I think it's worse than that. You know, after the recovery in 2008, you know, a lot of that money, that $1 trillion that went into the economy, a lot of it was loaned to the Chinese to make real estate. So they built all these empty cities that are currently going to go that aren't filled with any people. And those investments are never coming back. The money is gone, and so there's going to be a restatement at some point for the banks. But also, you know, when you start to pour in your retirement funds, that money's not coming back either. So it's not just that you're going, in the case of the military members, going to fund the weapons of your adversary. The money is literally not coming back.
Now, flipping, as I said, to another generation, because that's where people are and where the problem is headed. But China keeps this thing basically self-generating, because you write about how they've placed what are called Confucius Institutes in many universities across the United States. What's the impact and the influence of all of that matter?
Oh, well, I mean, it's just like the NBA. And instead of, the NBA players being forced to essentially censor their speech on campuses, the Confucius Institutes are there to teach the Communist Party propaganda line, and also the censor speech of the students and the university faculty. So, it's part of the United Front Work Department, which is the propaganda arm of the Chinese Communist Party. And we've basically invited them in, for a paltry fee, to teach Chinese classes.
Now, you mentioned before, too, how previous presidents and other various officials seem to want to play with China, with being knowing full well they'd be on the losing side. How do you classify the position that President Trump is taking with China? I mean, long before he even started his campaign, he was always a critic of China and the U.S. position versus China. What is he doing right, and has he done anything dramatically wrong or risky at this point?
Well, I think the thing he's done right is to actually confront the Chinese Communist Party. You know, he's put the tariffs on. The wrong is that the tariffs aren't permanent. They need to be permanent. Otherwise, investment won't happen here in manufacturing in the United States. We need to actually spend some of our $800 billion on defense, on stimulating investment in infrastructure, industrial base, STEM education, research and development, like we did during the Cold War. More importantly, the corporate America and Wall Street are putting extreme pressure on the administration to come to a deal with the Chinese, to essentially capitulate. And, my concern is that we will do that, and allow the Chinese to, essentially continue to, bankrupt our country.
Well, if you wonder why the NBA did what they did, well, as, Brigadier General Spalding writes in his book, Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept, they aren't the only ones who have been bowing and apologizing and giving way and giving favor to China. He writes about the dangers of it, how it's been developed, the steps China has taken, the various elements of American business, society, and culture they've become a strong influence in. Above and beyond all that, again, it's Stealth War, How China Took Over While America's Elite Slept. You can follow Brigadier General Spalding at @Robert_Spalding. He's also a China expert with the Hudson Institute, Hudson.org, their website. Brigadier General Spalding, thank you so much for the education on the reality of what we're seeing today, how we got to this point today, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.